Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Michelle.
So happy and grateful to be here and have you be an alcoholic. And I was just thinking, you know, I got those Stop and Shop tickets, like the coupons. I have to share the story because it's just like my little story and my faith. And you can get every dollar you spend at Stop and Shop, you get a point off gas at the Shell gas station. And so I got this big cardboard things of coupons that says if you spend 50 or more, you get 20 cents per gallon off. You get 200 points, plus the food I buy, you know, and the money I spend. So I'm like, this is great. I'm going to go get some gas. It's going to be like 250 a gallon by the time I use it. And so anyway, they stopped coming because I decided to go to Pathmark for a couple weeks. And if you go to Pathmark, you're not going to get them in the mail. I didn't know that, you know. So I went to Stop and Shop, and I went, and I spent the money, and I went to the manager. I'm like, how come I'm not getting these? And he's like, well, I have one for you here. And I'm like, well, that's going to expire in 3 days, and I just went shopping. So I went home, and in my mailbox was the card. I'm like, this is fabulous. I'm back on board. I'm going to start saving. So my mother looks at it, and she's like, oh, no, this doesn't have your name on it, Michelle. This is Angela across the street. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have noticed that. I really wouldn't have noticed that. Right? But she said it, and I saw it, and I had to go across the street, and I had to put it in her mailbox. And you know, and for a couple seconds there, I was like, we don't want to do this. I finally got my hands on this card, and it has coupons for a whole month. I walked across, my 5-year-old son was standing next to me. He's like, can I come with you? I'm like, of course you can. So we went and I put it in the mailbox. And they, I know that they only come on Saturdays. That's the only time I ever got them. And today, you know, my mom lives below me and she got the mail. She picks up the mail and I get home from work. I go say hello to my mother and I pick up the mail and there was a card with my name on it. And I'm like, this is God. And this is just a moment that I have to realize that I am not responsible for taking care of myself and feeding myself. I was taught that. I was taught that I need to concentrate on, you know, doing the right thing always, and God will take care of me. And I forget that very often in my life. And in this card, you know, and it's just like a moment. I'm doing the right thing, and God, you will take care of me, because we do struggle financially right now. We're in my husband's in a low position, and he's working his way up. He had to change careers, and I work for non-for-profit, which means I don't make any money, but I get time off, right? So we need those savings, and God does take care of you, you know? And I don't have to steal today, and I don't have to be the person to say, oh, they're not going to notice, you know? And so that's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling, because now I can recognize it. You know, starting with step one, you know, for me, being powerlessness, you know, having powerlessness over alcohol means that, you know, I can't stop drinking no matter what, you know. And I'm going to think of alcohol and it's going to wipe out every thought in my head. And I'm going to go and drink and even when I don't want to. And I learned that, you know, while I was out there drinking, you know. And then step two came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me back to sanity. And you know, and that's, it's like a big chunk to swallow, you know, it really is. I had to admit that there was something wrong with me more than alcohol, you know, because when I put down the drink, you know, I was still miserable, you know, because alcohol was my solution, you know. And and when it didn't work and I was left with me, you know, I didn't, you know, a lot of people say that they wanted to kill themselves. I never wanted to kill myself because I didn't have the guts, okay? I didn't have the guts to do that, you know, and I could never go there, but I definitely felt like I wanted to die, you know, and I always felt like that. I had a couple of years where I didn't drink at all, and I was getting married, and I was pregnant, and I was having another baby, and this was back in 2006, and I wasn't drinking at all. You know, I had gone to AA meetings, and I put the drink down, and I didn't get a sponsor, I didn't work the program, and my whole thing of staying sober was that this is bullshit. You know, it kicked my ass. And I am not letting it do. And I had that passion, that drive, and that fire to say, this is not happening to me. This is not happening to my child. And I wasn't married at the time, you know, and I'm not going to let it. And you know, and that was me. That was me thinking that I could stay sober, you know, like that. And it lasted for a little while until I realized that's, you know, alone can't keep me sober. And I knew that because, like, even though when I did meet my husband, and my husband is not an alcoholic, but he does drink, and he's allowed to drink because he can handle it, and we would go to parties, and I would be drinking Red Bulls. Oh, my God, so many Red Bulls, and I'd be pissed off. And everyone would be drinking, and I'm like, this is bull crap. I don't understand. Why do we have to be around so many people who drink alcohol? You know, why can't they be good? You know, and this is like, I was just really pissed. I was pissed off because I wanted a drink, and I didn't have a happy life. You know, I didn't have a spiritual awakening. I didn't have a God in my life. I was a jealous, controlling, selfish person. You know, every character defect under the book, being a slave to it. That's what I was. I was a slave to my emotions, to everything, you know. And I lived in this little bubble, and I was pissed off. And, you know, so, but when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous this time, you know, and I started going through the steps, you know, and I was beaten down, and I was willing to do anything, you know, it says that in one of the books, it says that, you know, we don't have to swallow this all at once, you know. We could just be willing to, you know, to think about it. And once we get on that path, the rest, more will be revealed. You know, in step three, made a decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understood Him. I think when I started going through the steps the first time, that I was just willing to do anything, that I said, come on, let's just do it, you know? I don't even think that the first time I did it, I even understood half of what it meant, you know? I didn't even know. I could honestly say that I just wanted to get better so bad that I didn't want you to question me, because I didn't want to give you the wrong answer, and I don't want you to hold me back. You know, so that was my experience going into the first time. You know, I didn't understand it. Now I understand, you know, what that means. That's big. You know, I have to put my whole faith in God. I have to put my whole life, you know, and He's going to do what He wants through me. And I have to allow that, you know, and that means I have to move on with step four, which is removing everything that's blocking me from Him. Because that's the only way He's going to get in, you know. So step four, I had made a list of all the people, you know, and I spoke about this last week, and the truth is, you know, everyone wronged me, and I didn't wrong anyone, and it was a rude awakening. Yes, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? What do you mean? But that's what I needed to do. I needed to, put the pen to paper. I needed to pray first, and I needed to stop when I was done writing. And, you know, and I had to do a lot more writing. You know, I had to do a sex inventory. You know, I had to do a fears list. And the sex inventory, you know, I was like, oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I have to try and remember this. And, like, I was thinking one way. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do this, you know. And then I was just, you know, make a list of the people that you hurt. Who did you manipulate? You know, who did you flirt with? You know, who did you, you know, it just goes beyond, you know, lying in the sack with somebody, you know, and it goes way beyond that. These are people I harmed, you know. I remember being 16 years old and, you know, and this guy liked me, but he had a car. And so we all used him for rides, and that sucks. That sucked for him, you know, and to just be used like that. You know, and this is just one of the stories that I did when I was an alcoholic, because I didn't care, you know. We just wanted to have a good time. And then, so, you know, I did this step, and I wrote out everything, and I learned that basically my whole life is conducted by fear. And every choice and every move I make is because I'm scared. And that's going to dictate who I am. And I had to realize that. I had to see it, you know. I couldn't have any normal relationship. I couldn't have a relationship with my husband. I'm surprised that he even had a relationship with me the way that I was. I was a very jealous woman, you know? And I tried to control him. I tried to control everything about him. I was so scared. And, you know, I was scared he was going to leave me. I was scared that he was going to look at him. What if he looked at another girl, you know? Like, what if he did? And, you know, but I thought that if he looked at another girl, that that was it. And then he was going to cheat on me in his head. And, you know, I mean, the stories go on. It was just ridiculous. But I was a slave to this. This controlled me, and this made me a mean and a bitter person. It made me not the type of person that you'd want to be around. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter who you were. You could be a really nice girl, you know. But if you were pretty and my husband could look at you, you weren't going to get treated very nice by me. It's sad. You know, I look at it and it's very sad, you know, because I know a lot of beautiful women today, inside and out. And it doesn't matter because, you know, today, you know, I trust and I love. And it's not about all those character defects. And when I first came into AA, I just didn't believe that that could be removed. And it's not 100% removed. I see it creeping, you know. I'll see it over here, and I'll be like, all right, let me just, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You know? And it goes away, you know. And, you know, because I prayed, and I didn't think that I would even get that close to being a better person, you know. And women, you know, they came up to me and they were like, I suffered from the same thing. And it's removed. And I'm like, what do you mean it's removed? That's impossible. You couldn't have it as bad as I did. You know, or I do. You can't be. You can't be. I'm just crazy. And I'm not that crazy with jealousy. And I'm not that crazy with envy. I'm not that crazy with all these things. You know, I had to become willing to have God remove these character defects. And, you know, like when I went through it the first time, I'm like, take them all, you know. I don't want any of them. And I didn't know what that meant because there was some that I depended on. And I didn't know that either. There was some that I depended on, that sense of control. The control to lose control, you know, doing it my way. I was petrified. I struggled for a really long time, you know, and that if I, you know, step back, and what's going to happen? Very fearful, you know, and I have to do it, you know, and I have to do it on a regular basis. This is when I see myself, you know, if I see myself feeling like just the wrong way, you know, I feel something wrong, I know that it's something inside me that I have to take a look at. What am I doing, you know? So I had to humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings, and then things started to happen in my life. Step 8, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Okay, so this step is a huge one, and I had no idea that this step was going to change my life forever, okay? Because, you know, once we believe that we're powerless and we come to believe that God, you know, could remove all of this stuff and make us sane, you know, because we were insane, you know? And I have to believe this, and then you're telling me I have to do this inventory so I can clear the path and allow him in. And now I'm going to become a different person, and I had no idea. I was going to start to think differently. The way I viewed life was going to be completely different. No longer, if I have a resentment, can I honestly sit there and say it's all your fault no matter what? I can't do that. I cannot do that at all. I know that if I'm angry with somebody and I'm upset, there is a part in there that I have to blame, that it's my doing. And I may not be able to see it crystal clear, and it may be like masked by fear, or it may be masked by something else, but I know that it's there. It's fear or it's something that's making me angry. And sometimes people do things just because they're mean people, you know, and I have to realize that, and that's what I learned. There's mean people. You know, there's going to be people that aren't like you. There's going to be people that, you know, that flip you off when they're driving. I used to be that person, you know, and I have to allow them to be like that, you know, and to be like, oh, they flip me off. I used to do that too. And I have to laugh at it too, because I can't take this seriously. because I'm going to drive myself crazy. I'm walking around, and I get in the car, and I would get in the car, and I'd be like, this is going to be my time to pray. And then all of a sudden, within 3 seconds of praying, I'm thinking about the interview. I'm thinking about this and that. And oh, my God, these two people are blocking traffic in the middle of the highway, in the middle lane, and they didn't even get a dent. Why can't they pull over the side of the road, you know? And this is all the stuff. Everything in life was bothering me. Everything, you know? Everything interfered, you know? There was no channel where I could just sit with God and pray, not even for 3 seconds, you know? And I had to learn that. I had to learn. And, you know, I didn't know what it was to have a relationship. You know, you have a relationship, when you start building a relationship with God, it means you've got to spend more time and concentrate on that time. And if you can't pull 3 seconds together, then, you know, it's time to be taught, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I made this list of all the people that I had harmed, and I had to include people also like, you know, creditors. I didn't know. I learned from Paul at one of our the Big Book study meetings that if Johnny gave me $50 just, and he wanted me to have that money, then I had to pay him back. And that, you know, that's the right thing. Even though he wanted me to have that money. I have to give it back, you know, and that's the right thing to do. You know, I had to learn all this. I had to, like, really realize, like, what's going on here. And that, you know, I had to pay back. I had to become responsible, you know. So I'm learning, now I'm learning how to be a responsible adult. And that's hard. You know, it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. It's hard work. You know, you have to do the right thing. You always have to do the right thing. And so I made amends, and I still have amends to make. You know, there's people in my life that, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to see them again. And there's people that I don't want to, but I know that I have to. And I will if they come along, because my sobriety depends on it. You know, my life depends on it. I am not the person that walked through the doors of AA when I first came in. I am not that person. I am not the person who's going to steal, lie, cheat. I'm not that person. I would like to consider myself a person of integrity. And I value that. And I learned that I could be that. And I didn't think I could, but now I do. And now I am. So I was very fearful when I was making my amends. There was people that I didn't think that were going to forgive me that did, and there was people that I thought that would that didn't. And my brother, you know, I had to sit there, and my brother, who is, you know, he's better than everyone else in the world, and he's so good, and he's amazing, and everybody loves him, and I had to sit there, and I had to be like, this is what I did, and I didn't even think I did anything wrong to him, apparently, but I didn't, because they said that in the So I had to sit there, and I thought that it was going to be all like peaches and cream. Oh, you're my sister. I love you. But no, he's like, come see me in 5 years. That's what he said. And I was like, because I asked him, is there anything that I can do to make things better? He said, come see me in 5 years, and walked away. I'm like, okay. And he still has that grudge, and I see it. But that's okay, because you know what? I'm here to, you know, to do what I have to do for myself. And you know, I wanted to show the world of what a better person I became, and I wanted to do that. And it's not about that in the ninth step, you know. It's about, you know, cleaning up your side of the street, and that's the process that it takes to change. And I had to clean up that wreckage. I booked a gig, and she would pay me $150 for a Saturday night to play guitar. And I booked the gig, and I got some money in advance, and I never showed up, and I had to show up back at that bar and pay her back the money, and just, it just, and I just felt humiliated. I felt humiliated, not only that I did that, but now I have to face up to that. And it was the most amazing experience of my life. I walked into that bar, I was scared, I was petrified. I looked, one look at her, and I just started crying. And then she started crying. And then she's like, I've always liked you, Michelle. She's like, I knew you weren't this person. And then she started to see things in me that I didn't even get to see yet in my sobriety. I didn't see that yet. You know? I didn't see that I was a person. You know? I was a piece of shit for a very long time. And she saw that, and she told me that I was a beautiful person, and that she is so happy that I was in that place giving her the money because she could really use it because that place is shutting down. And she needed that money. And that money meant nothing to me at the time. You know, I just wanted to give it back. And it meant so much to her. And she also shared with me that she had a stepdaughter that is struggling in rehab right now and just can't get it together. And to see me come in there gave her so much hope. And so I was able to be of service. And then, you know, and I got that opportunity for service. And that's when I got the taste of it. Oh, I could be someone of help. I could help other people. I would carry a shovel in the back of my car whenever it snowed because I wanted to help. I just wanted to be there. And on one occasion, I was working at an overnight shift at a nursing home. And the woman, I was going to work 11 o'clock at night, and the woman was stuck. And I'm like, I got my shovel. I'm going to help her. Because, you know. And I took my shovel out, and along came the janitor that worked there, and he took the shovel out of my hand, and he used it. And but you know what, I had the shovel and I want to and I want to be the person that pulls over on the side of the road, you know, when I see someone, you know, and I wanna be of service. And when I'm of service, I don't get to be inside me, you know, and sometimes I need a break, you know. And I think we only as alcoholics need a break. You know, and I find that in helping other people. But step nine, you know, that's definitely the time when I started feeling the promises of AA, you know. And that was all I hoped for in the beginning. Every time I hear the promises, you know, that's what held me on. It was like, you know, here I am. I'm going to keep on moving forward, you know. You will know a new freedom, a new happiness. You will not regret the past. No wish to close the door on it. What do you mean I'm not going to regret the past? I don't understand. You're crazy, you know? I left my children. My 5-year-old, who was 2.5 at the time, was like, where's mommy? My husband had to explain to them, you know? He had to sit down with tears in his eyes. And my 14-year-old, who was 11.5 at the time, he had to be like, you know, try and put the pieces of this together. I had a CPS woman come to my home, you know. Everything that I did. What do you mean I'm not going to regret the past? And one day, about a year ago, you know, I was still pregnant with my 10-month-old. And I started to see things that I never thought that I would see. I started to see that the stuff that I had been through started to shape my family. My children were going to learn things in life, and my husband and me were staying together. He wasn't leaving. We were teaching our children that when you love someone, you know, you hold on to them and you fight for them. And it started to bring a new meaning to life. And my children started to learn that. I started to learn, you know, what it's like to change and to start putting my husband forward. My husband started to learn forgiveness. He didn't know any of that. You know, my husband is the type of person, my husband's an atheist. And I struggle with that, you know, for a very long time because I can't change that. And I would envy people in recovery because they would get to pray with their spouses and I couldn't. And he didn't understand, and I'm going to church alone or I'm doing this alone. And I learned that that's okay. Because God has a plan and there is a reason why I'm here, you know? And I started to not regret the past, nor was to shut the door on it, because there is a reason for everything. And I got to see that, and I started to become more and more. And now, you know, I'm going to go through the steps again, and this is great, you know? And I could just, like, you know, review them, but I want more. Because, you know, I wanted, when I first came to the program, I needed to do this because my life depended on it, and I needed to be saved. And now I want to do it, not because my life depends on it, because I want more. I got a taste of what it's like to live this life, to see these things, having these things revealed to me. I got a taste of it, and I want more, you know, And it's the most amazing thing. And I'm happy. And I can't wait. And you know what? And I can't sit here and say, like, it's just going to all come to me. I'm going to do the steps and I'm going to just know it all. And I'm not. You know, because more shall be revealed. But I'm on that path. And I feel that I'm on the right path. And I know when I'm on the wrong path. Because I feel that too. So that's a blessing alone. Just to be able to be like, okay, this is good. And this is bad. Because I didn't know where the hell I was in the beginning. I'm like, is this good? I don't know. You know? Is this bad? But I'm Michelle. I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to hear from you guys.